like to call the Ways and Means Committee to order. We'll be operating again under Rule 10.04, which is posted online. And with that, we have the minutes for approval. Representative Olson?
Mr. Chair.
I'm getting ahead of myself. I should double check. Laura, we have a quorum?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I was looking at the list. I assumed we did, but I want to make that a matter of the record. Okay, a quorum is present. Representative Olson, if you'd care to make a motion on the minutes.
Sure. Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the minutes from May 7th, 2020.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carried. The first bill up this morning is House File 4645. I'm the chief author of the bill, so I would like to turn the chair over to Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this bill came to us from the floor. So Chair Carlson, you can just go ahead and move your bill to begin.
Okay, I would like to move that House File 4645 be recommended to be placed on the general register.
And there is one amendment, the A1 amendment. Mr. Chair, would you like to take that up first or walk through the bill?
The bill is pretty straightforward, and I think I would like to explain the bill and then take the amendment, because the amendment kind of goes to the core of the bill, and it's important that people, I think, understand the difference between the amendment and what the bill would be doing. So the COVID 19 Minnesota Fund is set to expire May 11th, and unobligated money left in the fund on that date are set to cancel back to the general fund. This bill extends the fund and the cancel back provisions to June 30th, 2021. If the bill passes after May 11th, any unobligated funds transferred to the general fund under the current law are transferred back to the COVID-19 fund. There is a retroactive effective date of May 8th, 2011 for the section dealing with the extension. By way of the dollar amounts to date, and we started with $200 million in the fund. Some of you may remember that when we passed the legislation. $134 million has been authorized, and some amount in excess of $66 million remains unspent. And part of the discussion, and this will come up when we're dealing with the amendment, at the time was whether there should be a date where the legislation would expire, or whether we should leave it in place to provide flexibility for MMB when they were dealing with emergency purchases. So the core of this discussion and the bill would be to extend that on so that MMB continues to have flexibility in making their purchases. So with that, Madam Chair, we can take the amendment.
Okay, great. To the A1 amendment, Representative Garofalo, if you care to move your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will move that amendment.
Right. And please, so the A1 is in front of us. Representative Garofalo, to your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members, and thank you, Chair Carlson, for carrying this bill. And I think Chair Carlson has highlighted how this fund is currently working, and it's something that it's working very well. The feedback, usually in a normal appropriations process, you know, we give the money to the executive branch with some guidance, and then any sort of oversight or review is done in a subsequent budget year or through unofficial communications. But with the current COVID-19 fund, the way it's working is that the money has been appropriated, but then for expedited approval for those appropriations in excess of $1 million, they come back to a group of 10 legislators, which requires a majority of the House and the Senate to sign off on it. And of course, executive branches tend to want flexibility. Sometimes the legislative branch, let's be honest, we can be a nuisance, but it is our job. It's what we're supposed to do. And so it's been working very well with this process. And having the having the sunset in place has actually helped out the executive branch, whether they want to admit it or not, in a couple of ways. Number one is it helps reinforce them privately behind the scenes for some of the more less meritorious requests for money, let me put it that way, by knowing that there's direct and immediate oversight as opposed to any oversight being officially done in 2021. Second of all, what it does is it keeps the legislative branch engaged with the executive branch to understand the size and scope of the pandemic that's taking place. I'm unsure of what appropriations are public or not public, but I do feel comfortable discussing something that was announced yesterday, and that was Majority Leader Winkler on the House floor mentioned this, that we just made an approval for an appropriation yesterday for, I believe it was less than $7 million for cold body storage for human remains, because the infrastructure that we have for, for deceased individuals is fixed in nature, it's limited, and so we're gonna be spending extra money so that we have the facilities to store human remains, which I think helps clarify for members of the legislature the crisis that we're truly facing. And it's a constant reminder of how difficult things are. But through that level of engagement and cooperation, it is extra work for us, but it's the right thing for us to do. And having that sunset in the appropriation has helped hold the legislature accountable and as well has held the executive branch accountable. So I support renewing this fund. It's a good thing to do. Again, it keeps us engaged in the process and the factors I mentioned earlier. The dispute that I have with this is that the current sunset is May 11th. I support extending that extension. However, the bill as drafted extends it out to June 30th of 2021. So this would severely, compared to what our current process is in terms of legislative engagement on this, it would severely restrict the legislature's ability to provide oversight and be involved in this. So my amendment moves it up to, it gives it another 21-day extension. I think it's an open secret that we've got a lot of work in front of us. I'm not breaking any news here, but we're going to be in a special session for an extended period of time this summer. And this retains the current process that we have in place to have the legislature and the executive branch work together on this. Again, it's working very well right now with very few exceptions. The appropriations that have been requested by the executive branch have been consistent with the goals of the fund. And it's one that I think we should continue forward. So I would ask for members' support in moving that sunset of the appropriation to allow for continuous renewal from June 30th, 2021 to June 1st of 2020. Thank you.
All right, discussion to the amendment. I'll come to you, Chair Carlson, as well. I see Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So Representative Garofalo, I'd like a little more explanation, if you would, about why you chose that particular date. I don't disagree with you that having oversight of this fund is important and having the executive branch, having the governor know that he's got to keep the legislature involved. I don't disagree with you about that. And I do think that the date that's in the bill right now might be a little long. But I didn't hear any explanation from you of why you picked that particular date. And what concerns me is that then the fund might expire and we might not have the ability to continue it because we might not be there to continue it. So could you just speak to that a little bit? Because as it is now, I would not vote for your amendment because I have a concern. I have more concern about suddenly having the governor be unable to make purchases of PPE or ventilators or whatever it might be than I do about lack of legislative oversight at this point. So could you speak to that?
Sure. Representative Garofalo.
Madam Chair and Representative Liebling, so I'll just put all my cards on the table. I picked June 1st because it's 21 days after the expiration. And my goal is this would set this up for a fair compromise where where we would eventually extend it to June 11th, because that's 30 days, just like the governor's emergency power. So By picking June 1st, my hope was that that would be unreasonably short, that those who have concerns about it would say, hey, exactly what you just said. But by extending it to June 11th, that would be the more reasonable compromise. But if I led with June 11th, then people would be like, hey, why not July 1st? So how's that for honesty?
Representative Liebling.
Well, thanks, Representative Garofalo. Madam Chair, Representative Garofalo, hopefully you give us honesty all the time. When you tell, now you're being honest, and you make us wonder about other times. But okay, putting that aside, I think this fund, since the legislature is not a year-round legislature, and even when the peacetime emergency is formally over, the issues are going to continue. I don't think there's anyone who doesn't understand that we should all understand that the issues with the virus are going to continue past the declaration of the peacetime emergency. And to me, that says that there is going to be a need in the executive branch to be able to move quickly and purchase supplies and do other things without coming to the legislature when the legislature's not available. So even with what you just said, your honest explanation gives me concern. And I think that's way too short. I think that if you were moving to put some additional accountability into the fund or additional parameters around the fund or something, I would be very interested in talking about that. But just putting an arbitrary date on it, even if that arbitrary date in some way lines up with the end of the emergency powers piece, gives me a lot of concern. So I would not support that.
And Madam Chair, if I may respond.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple of things. First of all, Representative Liebling, thanks for the comments. You should know that we have already pre-authorized for flexibility to purchase PPE and ventilators. That's already been approved from the $200 million. So that's not a concern. I would just simply say to you that right now, when we have these emergency powers, it's important that the legislature be engaged. If the emergency powers are, you know, they're scheduled to be terminated next Wednesday, if and when that happens, then I would agree with you that you have to just have, you grant the executive branch more flexibility. But right now, this process is working, and it's working very well. And we're not a full-time legislature, totally agree with that. I don't want us to be a full-time legislature. But what I do want is for us to make sure that we steer clear of a path where one person is making all the decisions. It's a longer conversation on a separate issue. But again, if the day that I'm choosing here is June 1st, if that's not the proper day, if somebody in the majority party can give me a different day that says, hey, we understand your points, we understand where you're going with this, here's a better day, please let me know. This is not an attack on the governor, it's not an attack on the executive branch. It's a recognition that just opening up this appropriation until 2021, and by the way, Representative Liebling and others, we're going to appropriate additional money to this fund. As you said, this is not a battle, this is a war. So additional money will be going into this fund. It's a necessity. And it's important that we keep the current parameters in place. I recognize the fact that when I pushed for this sunset of the appropriation, initially it was provocative and controversial. I think time has proven that it was the right thing to do, and we need to continue doing that. Thank you.
All right, further discussion? I don't see any. I'll go to Chair Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I would encourage a no vote, and what Representative Garofalo commented right at the end there, we did have this debate when the fund was established, and as Representative Garofalo knows, I was very concerned at the time that with an arbitrary sunset that we might end up exactly where we are now. And I opposed the sunset at the time, but to get an agreement to suspend the rules at the time, we accepted the sunset. But I thought at the time we would probably be back as we are, arguing that we need to extend it and to provide MMB with more flexibility. I think Myron Franz is on if he would like to comment perhaps on the legislative oversight, because that has worked well. And my view is that that would continue, but maybe we could ask Mr. Franz to briefly comment about the oversight and the need for flexibility when the legislature is not in session from the perspective of MMB.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Commissioner Franz.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Carlson. I do appreciate the opportunity to comment on this. And one of the things that has, the process has worked, I think, very well, as Representative Garofalo said. I would differ in his recommendation about an expiration date. I don't think the expiration date has contributed anything to the process, because if you go back and look, and on the website, we report twice a month, we report all the requests, all the expenditures, and all the votes. If you go back and look at the first report issued on April 15th, that's on the website, you can see that there were 8 specific requests for ventilators, respirators, gowns, gloves, surgical masks, some Department of Corrections, a direct response for COVID measures, were all in those requests. And out of the 10, there are 10 members of the legislature, both 10, 5 in the House and 5 in the Senate, that have 24 hours to voice their approval or disapproval. And for that month, the first 2 weeks of April, there's only one negative vote out of all of those. And all those votes were received within 24 hours. And if you look at what's happened since then, in April 15th to April 30th, there were 2 more. There was one for rapid widespread testing for COVID-19, which was the amazing and really one-of-a-kind agreement with University of Minnesota and Mayo that we got started. They received all 10 positive votes, unanimous. We had another one in preparation for community alternative care sites that only had one no vote or a no response. So Representative Garofalo is correct. This is working. It's working very well. I spent a lot of time talking to members on this legislative COVID response commission, the LCRC that we call it. I spent a lot of time and many times try to call before we send out this request to let them know what's going on. We've had questions. We've answered those questions. We have 3 more that have been approved recently, one for the animal carcass disposal in southern Minnesota, which has turned into a really serious situation. We actually made a request for the legislature to take that up through a committee process, but we were encouraged by members of the legislature to say, no, please use this process because we need to get it done now. And we did. We also had a community engagement outreach that was approved. We just recently, as Representative Garofalo noted, approved a facility for storage. So the process is working. The expiration date has nothing to do with the process working. We believe that this continuation is really important. It provides flexibility. There's still, I think, as Chair Carlson mentioned, there's about $65,191,000 left. Some of that has been pre-approved for some PPE purchases, which is great. We appreciate that flexibility. But the fact of the matter is, this is an ongoing emergency. These are issues where we spot issues. We try to work with the legislature on as many of these as we can through the legislative process. And those that we can't, we go through this process instead. We've had some successes working with the legislature doing direct appropriations. And this is the backstop, the emergency thing that we have to do in certain cases. It's worked extremely well. And I really want to thank all 10 members of the LCRC who have been responsive and asked questions and been engaged. But as Chair Carlson mentioned, this was not something we thought was necessary, the expiration date when we negotiated this Minnesota fund a month ago or whatever it was. It seems like a year now. But the point is, what we need is to be able to respond to the, and we will be reporting twice a month, when as long as this is operational, what we're doing, how we're doing it. You can see the requests, you can see the expenditures, you can see the success, you can see the votes. I don't know how you can make it more transparent, and I don't know how you can make it more engaged with the legislature on an emergency kind of a basis. So I understand the desire to stay involved, but that's what this thing does. It keeps the legislature involved in a very real-time basis, and I think that's valuable. But I don't think an expiration date, some arbitrary expiration date, makes any sense at all. So that's why we recommended the date that's in the Chair Carlson's bill. We support that, and we would ask for your support. Thank you.
Chair Carlson.
Yeah, so Madam Chair, again, I would encourage a no vote on the amendment. And from the get-go, from when we first started talking about the COVID-19 Minnesota Fund, I wanted to retain flexibility to be able to respond. And we did put in place very strong, as the commissioner pointed out, legislative oversight, and that will continue with the 10 members that serve on that oversight group. So with that, Madam Chair, I conclude my comments.
Thank you. I see Representative Garofalo, your hand's back up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And in closing, thank you. Commissioner Friends, you use the word, again, thank you for all your work. I know you're working 16 hours a day, so I feel like we can have a candid conversation in front of people when you're not taking this stuff personally. So you mentioned, you said that this is an arbitrary day. Well, the language in the bill has an arbitrary day. It lists June 30th, 2021 at the end of next fiscal year. Second of all, this language does not in any way inhibit your ability to respond. It doesn't impact it at all. What we're talking about is a fund that's going to have additional resources going into it, and that the legislature should be involved. I understand why the concerns the executive branch would have about having a sunset appropriation, but as the old saying goes, when the cat's away, the mice will play. And that's why we need to, this is our job. This is what we're supposed to do, to be involved in that. And I think the process is, it is working. It does matter. It is relevant that we be engaged in this process and that we not just turn this over and move on to the next appropriation. Please, Commissioner, two things. Number one, I'm familiar with the statutes of the power the Commissioner of the MMB has. You have plenty of authority and discretion, Commissioner. I think the statutes are designed that way to provide that flexibility. But this is in no way an attack or criticism of you or the staff or the executive branch at all. We're providing necessary legislative oversight. And by having the sunset of the appropriation, it does matter. People do behave differently knowing that the executive branch is kept on a tight leash on this. So with that, I'll renew my motion to have on this amendment and ask for member support. Thank you.
Thank you. I see one more hand, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess I know the author and the bill author usually get the last word, but I do want to ask the question of to Chair Carlson, how he came up with the June 30th date. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Carlson, Chair Carlson.
That was in consultation with MMB and my desire, because we don't know when the crisis is going to come to an end, to provide maximum flexibility to MMB. So there is legislative involvement in that question, at least on the part of some of us in the House, as well as from the get-go, as far as the oversight component. By the way, the structure that was put in place, that was a Senate concept when we were working on it a month or two ago. So there's been a lot of involvement in setting it in place. But the one area that was debated was the sunset. And I think we've talked about that. We do have a sunset, but it moves it out far enough where we give maximum flexibility to the commissioner and MMB, along with strong legislative oversight. I hope that answers your question, Representative Scott.
Madam Chair.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so I would ask the same question then of Commissioner Franz of how they arrived at the June 30th date. Thank you.
Commissioner Franz.
Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative. The expiration date, I mean, I think we need to be practical here. What's going to run out first is the money. I mean, if the legislature doesn't put any more money in this, all these dates are kind of not very meaningful. The point is, this $65,191,000 is only going to last so long. I don't know how much longer. We're processing and coming up with new requests all the time. So, as Chair Carlson said, it's the pandemic that determines how long we need this, and the pandemic will determine how much the legislature puts in this in the future, if any more. If there's no more put in this fund, then it's not going to last very long, whatever the expiration date is. The point for the end of the biennium, that's when we typically account for these funds. We have to assume, frankly, that I believe you will be putting in, the legislature will be putting more money in this, because I think this is going to go on for a while. And we'll have to have that. That's another debate where the legislature will actively participate and decide what are the funds that we should make available under this arrangement, which everyone agrees is working really well. So I will, and I do have to say that Representative Garofalo have a great relationship. We communicate a lot, we debate a lot, and we disagree on almost everything, but we do agree on debating and having good conversations. But I will say that I will take umbrage with the idea about while the cat's away, the mice will play. That's not true. We are working on a pandemic. We are working on saving lives, buying PPE, setting up alternative care sites, buying storage facilities for deceased remains. So this is not an opportunity that anyone would ever take license with. This is really serious, and that's why we like the involvement of the legislature in the process. You put the money in the account, you approve going out, and the fact that there's an expiration date that goes probably way beyond any actual funding, I find it to be such a distraction from what we're trying to do. So the end of the biennium is just what we typically pick for the end of, to make sure all these funds are done and reported on. That's how we came up with it. So that's my best answer. Thank you.
Representative Scott, further question? Not seeing any. Okay. Well, if you could please unmute your devices then.
I'm sorry. I thought it was unmuted. Sorry. So my final comment is, it seems like an argument was just made to move the date up, as Representative Garofalo offered, because the feeling is that the money's going to run out before June 30th, and the legislature's going to have to come back and provide more funding. So thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative France. Commissioner France.
That's okay.
All right. Thank you, members. So please unmute your devices. We're voting on the A1 amendment. So all those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed, say nay.
No.
No. No.
The motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. All right. Any further discussion on the bill?
Well, Madam Chair,
go back to Chair Carlson.
Yes. Seeing no further discussion, I would simply renew my motion that House File 4645 be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Great. So the motion is before us. If the clerk could please take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Yes.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Pass.
Bernardi, pass. Representative Davids?
Aye.
Davids, aye. Representative Davney?
Aye.
Davney, aye. Representative Druskowski?
Aye.
Druskowski, aye. Representative Eklund? Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen, excused. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
Aye.
Hertas, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Knorr?
Aye.
Knorr, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Scott?
Yes.
Scott, aye. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
Aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. 26 ayes, zero nays.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair?
Representative Bernardi?
Yes, I passed, but I wanted to go back to and vote aye.
Bernardi votes aye.
Anybody else need to vote? Okay, Ms. Parkman.
27 ayes, zero nays.
And 27 ayes and zero nays, the motion prevails and the bill is on its way to the General Register.
Thank you, Representative Olson. I'll go back to chairing the meeting then. I'm always full of stories, members, and during my early days, there was a situation where the chair turned the committee over to the vice chair and finished his bill, and then the vice chair wouldn't relinquish the gavel. So that created quite a, it was actually a true event. There was quite a debate. They must have had a good working relationship, I guess. But thank you, Representative Olson, for giving the gavel back.
Absolutely.
We're going to take up the ag policy bill next. And Representative Poppy, would you care to make a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 4285, the first engrossment, be recommended to be placed in the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us, and there is an amendment, and I think it's the author's amendment. So would you
yes.
The amendment? No.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, this is an author's amendment. I'd like to move the A4 amendment.
Okay, the motion is before us. If you'd care to explain the amendment.
Yes, I would, Mr. Chair, members. This amendment takes out the Farm Safety Grant and Outreach Program, which Senator Westrum asked to be placed in the Ag Finance Bill. So we put it in the next bill you're going to hear. We're taking it out of the Ag Policy Bill. And it also updates the vet immunity language as agreed with by the Senate. So those are the two pieces, and I'd ask for your support.
Okay, any discussion on the amendment, the A4?
Chairman?
I hear a voice.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hamilton.
Okay, Representative Hamilton. I don't see it. When I hear a voice, I don't see the hand, but.
I'll switch it from my hand, sorry. So I just want to chime in on this. Representative Poppy did a wonderful job explaining everything in the Ag Committee on how she is still in negotiations with the Senate. And so everybody's been informed on the Ag Committee that there would be some amendments coming forward. So I just want to offer up my support and thank Chair Poppy for being transparent and including us in the discussion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor of the A4 amendment signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 4285 is amended. It's essentially the same bill making its way through the Senate. Senator Weber is the Senate author. It comes before Ways and Means because in Article 1, we have some wholesaler produce changes, and we removed the license requirement. That was a part of the governor's supplemental budget bill in March. And in Article 2 in the seed law, there's a seed fee change, which was a part of the agency's policy bill. And together, those are revenue reductions to the Department of Ag. So there's a fiscal impact, although it's a revenue reduction. There's no spending in this bill. Mr. Savory put together the spreadsheet Senator Weber and I have agreed on the policy and language, and thank you, Representative Hamilton. The majority and the minority agreed on this bill and passed it out of committee unanimously on April 30th. And that's the bill, and I'd ask for your support.
Okay, Representative Groffel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative Poppe. So, Representative Poppe, you should know that in discussions I've had privately with members of my caucus, I've drawn a very bright line that I said we should not be voting for any general fund, anything with any general fund impacts unless we're paying for it. But you've made it virtually impossible for me to hold that commitment today because you've done everything right. And I'm just confirming the fiscal impact for this current biennium, it's the general fund impact, not the spending. The general fund impact is $600,000. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, we're on the policy bill. We don't have revenue. We just have a revenue reduction.
Okay. Any further discussion? Would you care to renew your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, on House File 4285, the first engrossment as amended, I ask that be placed on the general register.
Okay. Any further discussion? Representative Groffler, your hand is still up. Did you want to?
Sorry, I'll lower it.
Okay, any further discussion? Will the clerk take the roll?
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo? Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi? Representative Bernardi?
Pass. I'm having computer problems, and so please come back to me. Thank you.
Representative Davids?
Aye.
Davids, aye. Representative Davney?
Aye.
Davney, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
Aye.
Drazkowski, aye. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen, excused. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
Aye.
Hertas, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppe?
Aye.
Poppe, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Scott?
Aye.
Scott, aye. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
Aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. Representative Bernardi? Bernardi votes aye. Ayes, 0 nays.
Okay, the motion prevails and will be placed on the general register. Next bill up is House File 4490, again by Representative Poppe. This is a supplemental agricultural finance bill. So, Representative Poppe, would you care to make a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I move House File 4490, first engrossment, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us, and there is the office or author's amendment that you alluded to earlier. So would you care to move the amendment now?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Again, another author's amendment. This is the A4 to House File 4490. And I will just describe that a bit. When we passed the bill out of committee on May 5th, the bill reflected our requests and totaled $1 million in general fund spending. But within hours of our committee hearing the bill, budget information was reported out that required us to change how we were going to be able to fund the spending in this bill. And so it needed to be covered with federal CARES Act dollars or non-general fund dollars. So our fiscal analyst, Mr. Savory, reviewed the bill and the guidelines for CARES Act allowances and determined that all of our items except for the equipment for the vet diagnostic lab and the farm safety grants are COVID-19 funding eligible. The amendment specifies where the CARES Act money should cover the spending. And for our two top priority items that we began the session with, expecting to support, which is the vet diagnostic lab and the farm safety grants and outreach, we are adjusting the amount within the AGREET fund. And AGREET is an ag research fund that Representative Hamilton very keenly created for us to be able to provide to the University of Minnesota to have ag research. And so what we are doing is we are reducing that by $100,000 to cover the farm safety grants and outreach, and we are having them pay for the vet diagnostic lab out of that fund. So this amendment reflects those changes.
Okay, any discussion? Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to echo my comments that I said earlier. Chair Poppe has done an excellent job informing the Ag Committee that there would be potential changes coming to the Ways and Means. I definitely support these changes, and I'd ask for your support.
Okay, the amendment is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor of the A4 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Poppe, on the bill.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm happy to go through particular parts of the bill that was changed as we moved along here on line 2.34 to 311. We added $40,000 for additional community outreach, especially related to suicide prevention and mental health awareness. On line 7.18 to 7.21, we are adding $200,000 for farmers and value-added ag businesses whose markets and operations were negatively impacted by COVID-19. Line 5.19 to 5.20, we give additional priority to meat and poultry processors in 2021. On line 9.7, we increased the capacity of farm advocates by $60,000. Currently, we have 10 farm advocates throughout the state, and although they have been serving our farmers adequately during tough times, the COVID-19 experience has heightened the need for their services, especially among our pig and poultry farmers who have had to depopulate animals due to lack of processing plants and markets. Line 12.8 begins our farm safety and outreach program, which is what we deducted from the ag policy bill. We're putting that in here, and we have $50,000 grant to begin that program and $50,000 in outreach and curriculum development and a potential digital application that could help stop equipment. In Minnesota last year, we led the nation, unfortunately, in the number of farm deaths, and this is a new program. It's a high priority for us. The amount was adjusted due to the budget constraints, but it's definitely something that we feel that we need to provide some support for this year. And then 12.26, we have the vet diagnostic lab. That again was a top priority. In January of this year, the biggest threat to pig farmers was African swine fever, an animal disease that could eliminate our hog industry. But unfortunately, with COVID-19, healthy animals are being killed due to the human virus, but the threat of African swine fever continues to exist. And 13.1, we began talking about a farm prices loan origination fee. This is a grant program that would fund eligible farmers who are in mediation or planning to go into mediation to pay 50% of that fee. We have, as a legislative body, we passed the farmer lender mediation extension to 60 days. Representative Lippert has another bill that would extend that to December 1st. We are trying to do what we can to help support our farmers, and this farm crisis loan origination fee grant might also be able to help some people who are in mediation. And then 13.28 is a food handler safety money, and that is money sent to go to small grocers to pay for PPE, plexiglass, cleaning supplies, whatever they may need for the grocery store workers, and that was requested by the Minnesota grocers. This bill has been negotiated with my counterpart, Senator Westrum, and I have also appreciated very much the guidance from Representative Hamilton, the lead on my committee. So I would appreciate your support.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, Representative Poppy, would you care to renew your motion?
Yes, let me just make one final comment. We all acknowledge that it's a very painful and near catastrophic situation for many farmers, especially our animal farmers, and through no fault of their own, they are in an incomprehensible position. These funds do not address the depopulation and disposal costs or the loss of market, the loss of income that these farmers are facing, but it does hopefully help to boost them with some additional resources with regards to mental health support and farm loan origination fees and other things. So it is a small step toward helping, but it does have support, I think, throughout the ag community. So I'd like to renew my motion that House File 4490, the first engrossment as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson? Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Bernardi votes aye. I'm having computer file problems, and so I'm going to have to check out and get back in again. Thank you.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
Aye.
Davids, aye. Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
Aye.
Drazkowski, aye. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen, excused. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertoffs?
Aye.
Hertoffs, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Yes.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Knorr?
Aye.
Knorr, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
Aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. 26 ayes, zero nays.
Okay, the motion prevails and the bill will be placed on general orders. And I understand Representative Hamilton would like to make a comment before we take up the...
No, Mr. Chairman, I made my comments. Thank you.
Oh, you did. Okay, very good. Thank you. The next bill on the agenda then will be by Representative Fabian, House File 3194. Representative Olson, would you care to make a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 3194 be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Fabian, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. House File 3194 is what I would refer to as a simple bill, but a very significant bill. House File 3194 would establish a section of Highway 310, which is north of Roseau, as a memorial highway in honor of Deputy Richard Magnuson, who was killed in the line of duty. He was in attempting to apprehend or stop a car that had run through the border north of Roseau. And when he stopped the car that had run through the port of entry, he was killed by the driver. And this is an issue that was brought to me along with House File 3195 by local law enforcement, including the Sheriff's Department and Customs and Border Patrol. Bob Tuttle, who is the area chief for Customs and Border Patrol, is very interested in making sure that we memorialize, in this case, Richard K. Magnuson. And that's the gist of this bill, Mr. Chair. And I do know that one of the members of the committee has a personal attachment to Mr. Deputy Magnuson, and they may want to speak up at this time.
Okay, I don't know. Is that Representative Torkelson? I see his hand went up. Representative Torkelson?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I am not the one with the personal connection. I just wanted to speak in favor of this bill and the next one. It might normally have gone through the Transportation Committee process, but we ran into a roadblock there, and it seemed like these bills really should see the light of day, and this seemed like the best way to move them forward. I thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing these bills, and I thank Representative Fabian for bringing them forward. They're worthy bills, and I hope we can send them on. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Representative Fabian, who is the individual that you wanted to yield to? I didn't see a hand go up.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. And just so that the committee knows that, Deputy Magnuson was killed on August 2nd, 1978. And interestingly, I'm married to a nurse that was in the emergency room at that time. Representative Eklund texted me this morning, and I don't know if he wants to speak to this or not, but I'll let him, if he wants to. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Eklund, did you care to comment? I don't hear anything at this point. We have a hand up, Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd also speak in support of this. In our committee, we, from time to time, have these kinds of requests to honor our fallen heroes. And, I do want to speak in support of this bill. I know we also have a couple of other members that have some similar kinds of requests, and I hope we can accommodate those this session.
Okay, thank you. And we should point out that apparently there is a lot of local interest because the costs are being covered through private donations. So that also tells us that there's a lot of local support for moving forward with the designation. So with that, Representative Liebling.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And it just, of course, you know, we all feel a real gut punch when we hear about these incidents happening. And but I just have a question. I thought I heard Representative Torkelson say that this officer was killed in 1978. And that just makes me, if I heard that right, why is this coming up in particular now. He's waited all these years for some kind of a memorial, and not that we shouldn't do it, but I just wonder, just out of curiosity, why it's taken so long.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess the reason it's taken so long is because there was no one locally that was taking the bull by the horns, I'll say. And in this case, like I said, Officer Tuttle with Customs and Border Patrol is the one who's kind of spearheading this effort up here, along with Sheriff Steve Gust. I can't address specifically why, but, you know, we're doing it now. And Representative Liebling, you'll be even more amazed at the next bill that we're going to hear.
Representative Liebling? Apparently that took care of the question.
Yeah, it did, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Olson, would you care to renew the motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I renew my motion that House File 3194 be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, that motion is before us. The clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids?
Aye.
Davids, aye. Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Dabney, aye. Representative Drazkowski? Representative Drazkowski? Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen, excused. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
Aye.
Hertas, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Yes.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
Aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
Aye.
Drazkowski, aye. 26 ayes, zero nays.
Okay, the bill has passed and it's on its way to the General Register. The next bill is Representative Fabian as well. Representative Wilson.
I move that House File 3195 be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. This is the second bill that Robert Tuttle brought to me. He's the patrol agent in charge here for U.S. Customs and Border Protection. This one has Patrol Inspector Robert Lobdell, who was a World War I veteran, was killed on Christmas Day in 1928 on Highway 11, about 4 miles east of Roseau. He was attempting to place a suspect under arrest, and he was shot at that time and killed, lost his life. And Inspector Tuttle has been doing his homework on this stuff, and he says that we can't do enough to memorialize heroes like Richard K. Magnuson and Robert Lobdell. So, Mr. Chair, thank you for the opportunity to be here, and I look forward to a little discussion.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, Representative Olson, would you renew your motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I renew my motion that House File 3195 be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi? Representative Bernardi? Bernardi votes aye. Representative Davids?
Aye.
Davids, aye. Representative Davney?
Aye.
Davney, aye. Representative Druskowski?
Aye.
Druskowski, aye. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen, excused. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertoffs?
Aye.
Hertoffs, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Knorr?
Aye.
Knorr, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
Aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. 26 ayes, 0 nays.
Okay, the motion prevails, and the bill is also on its way to the General Register. So thank you, Representative Fabian. By the way, that last one, even
thank you, Mr. Chair, and I do want to give a shout out to Nancy Connolly. She has been very helpful in helping us get this stuff.
Well, thank you. And I'm sure that she appreciates that. And she does a great job of helping the chair of this committee and the members that appear before it. So I think we all owe her our gratitude. But thank you for that comment. With that, I was going to say that last bill, a lot of people don't realize that I'm the oldest member of the Minnesota House in age. That's what I'm told anyway. And that even predates me by about 12 years. So that'll give you an idea of my age. But thank you. We're going to take up.
We hope you can be here for the ribbon cutting.
The next bill is Representative Murphy. And it's the Rural Finance Authority funding and bonds issued and appropriating money. And so Representative Olson, would you care to make a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 2129 be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Representative Murphy.
Last year when I appeared before this committee, with this bill, I was wearing a John Deere outfit. This year, I have loaned my John Deere cap to Representative Davney, apparently, and my John Deere is out in the garage waiting for, or in the barn, waiting for me to get
busy with my spring chores on it. But I have a dear regard for the Rural Finance Authority, and I think it's very important to keep the amount of money in their reserve so that they can meet the coming needs of Minnesota farmers. And I ask for your support in passing this bill to the General Registry.
Okay, any discussion? Representative Bernardi. Representative Bernardi, your hand is up. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair, or Mr. Chairman. For you, Mr. Chairman, or Representative Murphy, or for staff that feels comfortable, is this intended to be a vehicle for the for a possible omnibus capital investment bill?
Representative Garofalo, I said my vehicle, my John Deere, is waiting for me out in the barn.
Does that give you a hint, Representative Garofalo?
Okay. I don't speak cryptic DFL, so I'm losing it in the translation, but I think the answer is yes.
We'll leave that up to Representative Murphy.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. Chairman.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to say thank you, Chair Murphy, for leading on this specific issue. It's very important. Thank you. I support it.
Okay, any further discussion? Representative Olson, care to renew your motion?
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion that House File 2129 be recommended to be placed on the General Register.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify, or excuse me, this is final vote, so we need to have a roll call. Clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Garofalo, aye. Representative Albright?
Aye.
Albright, aye. Representative Bernardi? Bernardi votes aye. Representative Davids?
Aye.
Davids, aye. Representative Davney?
Aye.
Davney, aye. Representative Drazkowski?
Aye.
Drazkowski, aye. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton?
Aye.
Hamilton, aye. Representative Hansen, excused. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas?
Aye.
Hertas, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha, excused. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long?
Aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani?
Aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Aye.
Noor, aye. Representative Pawlowski?
Aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy?
Aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative Vogel?
Aye.
Vogel, aye. Representative Wagenius?
Aye.
Wagenius, aye. 26 ayes, 0 nays.
Okay, the motion prevails, and the bill is on its way to the General Register. Before we adjourn, just a quick announcement. We are scheduled to be in session beginning 9/11, Monday through Thursday next week. As you know, from floor action and various committee action, a number of bills flow to Ways and Means, and we're often the last stop for a lot of bills unless they're pure policy. So members, just be flexible next week. We'll be convening probably virtually every day. So with that, Patrick Garofalo has his hand up. Representative Garofalo.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just earlier this week, we received guidance from legislative leadership that those items that do not have, in order to allow for processing, that if there's not agreement on those items, that that deadline should be this weekend. Is that guidance still holding?
Well, the guideline is not the weekend. It's I think it's midnight Saturday, or at least some hour on Saturday, maybe. But I think it was midnight. So
Mr. Chairman, that would be
correct on that. That would be a weekend deadline.
So, Mr. Chairman, I thought that deadline was tomorrow, correct?
Tomorrow is Saturday. That's what I said, midnight Saturday.
Okay, all right. So I just, so.
I had to stop and think what day of the week it was, Representative Garofalo. I'm having that kind of a week and day. So tomorrow is the deadline to get bills to Ways and Means. Out of their committees, and they're working with the Senate and trying to arrive at agreement on various bills. And so a lot of things are happening. And all I was meaning with my announcement was be flexible for next week. We're scheduled Monday through Thursday.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'll speak with staff offline after the meeting. So thank you.
Okay, very good. Any other questions before we adjourn? Okay, with that, meeting adjourned, and we'll see you later. Bye.